The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
That sounds like Bono, 710 KNUS, but this voice is actually not Bono's. It's Brockler's. It's George Brockler on the George Brockler Show, 710 KNUS. Thanks to Pete Boyles, and Merry Christmas to him, and Happy New Year, since I won't be seeing him for, I guess, a week until he comes back, probably a week from Monday on that 3rd of January. I'll be with you next week. I won't be here tomorrow. Geronimo and I get the day off. There'll be some other programming, which I'm sure is equally awesome, but we'll get to spend that time scrambling around, making sure that everybody has the fair amount of gifts so that there isn't some sort of a plastic knife fight under the tree on Christmas on Saturday morning. And no one feels like mom and dad choose someone over the other, even though we do. We tell them all the time, you're our favorite. We just tell all of them that. I'm kidding. We don't ever do that. Listen, I'm very happy to continue to have this conversation with you about the Christmas stuff. And I guess we could keep it lighthearted because, tomorrow's Christmas Eve. Let me tell you what I had wanted to talk about here, and maybe we can do this, and maybe I'll save it for Monday. But I want to update you on this trucker thing, in part because it has become a national story. It's become a national story in that it shows up on Fox News. It shows up on ABC. It shows up on CNN. And, in fact, I was on CNN last night on the Mike Smirkonish, if I'm saying that right, show, to talk about this. And really what the discussion was about was whether or not this was an outrageous and unjust sentence. Do we need to change our laws? And we could all have that conversation. There's no doubt about it. But to just update you where we're at, and either I'm going to have this conversation with you today or I'm going to have it on Monday morning, and here's why. The DA in the case, who pursued vigorously the charges, and I think something that people probably have lost sight of is this guy was convicted of 27 charges, but there were 41 charges brought against him. Now, I'm still trying to find, and I'll do some research, what those other 14 charges were, and had he been convicted of those, what would those have potentially added to this sentence that already has people pulling their hair out and getting Kim Kardashian all worked up? And so the DA has filed a motion to reconsider the sentence, and in fact has used this little-used, in this way, provision of the law. I'm going to just tell it to you in case you ever have any interest in looking it up. It's 18-1.3-406. And if you Google CRS 18-1.3-406, you will get the crime of violence statute. And it sets out pretty clearly what charges must be mandatory and what must be mandatorily consecutive. And it's not every charge in the book. It's not even every violent crime in the book. It's only a handful of charges, and first degree assault and attempted first degree assault are some of them. But one of the things it provides in there is this sort of a release valve, a safety release valve for sentences that might just be too darn big. And 110 years feels pretty darn big, even for this conduct. So what it says is within 91 days after someone is transferred to the custody of the Department of Corrections, the Department of Corrections will generate a report. And the report will provide any diagnosis, assessment, all this other stuff to the court, and the court has the ability to reconsider a sentence. Now, that usually takes place at a place called the DRDC, the Denver Regional Diagnostic Center. That's where every prisoner goes before they get farmed out to whatever prison best suits their needs. And we have mental health prisons, and we have prisons for kids. And when I say kids, I mean 17-year-old murderers. And we have prisons for people who are low risk and property crime. But we have all kinds of prisons in the state of Colorado. Well, the DA has worked their magic, I think, along with the court, to expedite that report to get it done as early as today. That's unheard of. And as far as I know, in 27 years, unprecedented. Never heard of that happening before. As you can imagine, DOC, tremendous backlog with the COVID and all the... Somehow they've decided to accelerate this guy's case to the front of the line to put him in a position where the judge on Monday, can act to change his sentence. And so maybe a little bit after this show ends on Monday, we're going to know what new number this guy is going to have to serve for setting four people on fire and, well, actually probably 10 people, killing four of them, and what his sentence is going to be. And so I had thought to come in today to have a conversation about mercy, really, and to say, if you were the judge in this case, knowing what you know, would you reduce the 110-year sentence? I would. But what would you reduce it to? And I want to set aside the fact that this is a politically driven, social media-fueled haste to get this thing changed, I think driven by a DA who is freaked out, a DA who ran on sort of that George Soros social justice thing. And I don't slight her for that, and I think voters get to have the DA that they want. That's why we have elections. But, oh, my God, I've never seen anything like this before. I've never seen anything so panicked and frenetic in a response from a DA who pursued vigorously and successfully charges where the outcome was predictable, and then quickly, when Kim Kardashian and social media blew up on him, said, but I don't think that's fair. I don't think that's the right, even though we pursued it, knew it, I don't think that was the right sentence. So we're going to hear something else here on Monday. And so I don't know if today is the right time to talk about it. And you tell me at 303-696-1971, or we do it on Monday as this thing is unfolding in open court. But we're going to hear a new number on Monday. And I think it runs the gamut, right? Like, we're going to hear maybe probation. Is that appropriate? Is it appropriate that this guy get time served and he walks out of the courtroom to go celebrate the new year with his family in a way that the other four dead people can't? Does he get a reduced prison sentence? And if so, what is that prison sentence? I mean, I'm interested because if you go on social media, and I've had people throw punches at me, and they're usually the anonymous, you know, the cowardly Twitter trolls that throw punches that just and they justify their anonymity by saying, well, I'm not a public figure. And it's like, you're so gutless. This is something you would never walk up to me and say on a street, but hidden behind Twitter, the anonymous fear, you can throw these punches. But nonetheless, some of the things that they say are, this is heartless, monstrous, this is an outrageous. But nobody comes forward and says, this is justice here. Here's what he should have taken. Now, if you listen to him and his attorney, they think he should have gotten points on his license with a traffic ticket. That's what they came and offered to the DA per the DA. If you think that's justice, well, we're just not on the same planet Earth. But there's got to be something else between that and 110 years. And maybe it's the right time to talk about it because it's during this season of, it's not so much forgiveness, but the season where we celebrate the birth of the forgiver, right? I mean, in many ways, if you're a Christian, this is, it's not the most important day Easter is, but it's maybe the second most. And that is the birth of Jesus, who really comes and says, we should be in the forgiveness, love your neighbor business. And I take that seriously. I don't think that that means we don't have a criminal justice system that seeks to correct behavior, prevent bad behavior, and punish bad behavior, but it's there. So in this season, to some extent, of mercy, of peace, and this is the season of peace, if you were going to be the judge on Monday, what would you do? I mean, what would you do? We're headed into Christmas. You're going to get to be with your family in a way this guy isn't. No matter what, he ain't going to get to be with his family unless they come visit him in jail or something, or DRDC, which I imagine they're going to do. What do you do with this guy? 303-696-1971. Phone lines are full, but I'll tell you when they open up, and you just keep calling in, and let's just have this conversation. Right now, we're going to Butch. Butch in Littleton, you are on 710 KNUS. Butch, what do you think?
Mr. Brockler, how are you?
I'm good, sir. How are you doing? And by the way, in Littleton, good. Are you Jeffco Littleton or Arapaho Littleton?
I'm Arapaho Littleton.
Right on, under my umbrella
of
protection for
you. I voted for you when you were running for DA in Arapaho.
My God, I hope you voted twice, because I ran twice.
Actually, I went to the Jeffco Regional Police Academy in 2007.
Wow.
When you were with the Jeffco DA's office.
Oh, yeah. That's going back. And 2007 would have been right after I left, but they still let me come back and teach.
And for a good reason, and I'm going to tell you why. We had a lot of DAs teach legal classes to our academy, and I think my academy was maybe 35 between Jeffco, Arapahoe County, Vail, Golden, Arvada. And the day you taught the Constitution— there were over 80 people in that room.
What?
Every JEFCO investigator was there. A lot of guys came in from patrol to listen to your presentation on the Constitution. And it was awesome. And I'm wondering if you have a video or an audio recording of you teaching the Constitution.
I don't. And my God, that's probably a good thing. Who knows what crazy stuff I said about it. But I don't.
No, it was an incredible class.
Oh, thanks for saying that, man. And I used to do that for Red Rocks Community College, different police academies. I did that for years, and I would be the kickoff DA speaker, which is you do the Constitution, and then, as you know from having gone through it, a bunch of other DAs show up to talk about the nitty-gritty, about, you know, whether it's interrogation or about, you know, Fourth Amendment, Fifth Amendment, all that stuff. And then they'd bring me at the end to do courtroom testimony sometimes. And I love those two things because you get the guys and gals at the front end and at the back end. But I loved having that conversation about the Constitution because there were just so many real world things that you could bring up that people were like, oh, yeah. Or, and it just great conversations. That's fantastic, man. How long did you, after the academy, where did you get on and how long did you stay there?
I was there for 14 and a half years. I just left about a week and a half ago.
What? Wow. What was the motivation?
Political climate.
This is at JCSO?
Yeah. Well, you know, just the politics in general.
Yeah.
The way society is these days. I'm older now, so I don't need that anymore. You know, you reach an age where your high-speed days are kind of over.
Yeah, I was just talking with Pete about that at the different end of the spectrum, and that is talking about, you know, I talk about how many Christmases am I going to have left with the whole family together as they go, you know, have their own lives. And, you know, Pete's talking about things like, hey, I ask myself all the time, like, how many first days of skiing do I have left? You know, and I'm like, you know, that's a great point. That's a great point. And you're sort of having that same conversation about a much more kinetic job, and that is, do I still have the ability to be the hard charger that I was when I sat in that seat in 2007? I get it.
Yeah, I just kind of lost my passion for it.
Hey, can I ask you?
It was time to go.
First off, thank you so much for the very complimentary words, especially about something that took place 14 years ago, man. That really makes me feel good. And then two, as you listen to this topic that I was setting up, if you're the judge and you're familiar with JEFCO, I mean, you're out there. You were there when all this stuff happened. What do you do with this guy when he shows up in front of you on Monday, knowing what you know?
I think the judge just has to follow the law. I think I'm no expert on it, but I think he followed the minimum sentencing parameters, and that's what he came up with.
He sure did. You're right. But now there's this safety valve provision in the law that says he has the ability now to deviate from that. And let's pretend he has the ability, and I think he does, the ability to do almost anything from probation up to maintaining the existing sentence. What do you think is appropriate? And you don't have to give me a specific number, but a range. What's a range of what's appropriate for this guy?
Well, you know, again, I don't possess a CDL. I've never been through a CDL class. I know people that have CDLs, and it's hammered into them that if something like that ever happens and there's no ramps, you strap in tight, you grab that Jake brake, and you run that truck off the side of the road or into a barrier, you do something.
Interesting.
Because if you're going to hit cars, people are going to die.
Well, I did not know that was part of the training. That is interesting.
Yeah, I mean, I just talked to a guy yesterday. Yeah, because, you know, those are big, heavy trucks, and things go bad. So it's a tough one. It's a tough one.
Butch, it is a tough one. Hey,
you know, but you got to say that, you know, four people were killed,
six others
and many
terribly
more
wounded,
were permanently maimed. So
right, exactly.
Certainly, at least half that would be justified, I think.
Okay, so and thank you for getting us on that target. And Butch, thanks for the kind words. Merry Christmas to you. I'm sorry we lost you from law enforcement, but I hope you stay engaged in the community. Thank you, my man. But that gets us on this conversation. And I've had another texter here text that says, hey, the judge may give him 50% off. Maybe it's 60 years. Yeah, that could be. I think it's going to be a greater reduction than that. But I should remind everybody out there that any number you hear a judge say in the state of Colorado for a state charge for a sentence is fake. It is fake. It is not real, Nobody kills their number. That's the term for serving every day that you get. Nobody kills your number. In fact, right now, if nobody did anything, this dude, in my opinion, likely to be parole eligible at about 50-ish years. Now, 50-ish years is still a truckload of time, even for killing four and apparently maiming six others with fire because he chose them, he chose himself over them. So, but that gets us to a good discussion point. So this person, this texter that came in and said, hey, maybe we'll give him 50% off 60 years. That means the dude's probably going to be paroled in about 50% of about 30 years. I don't think it'll be there. I think it's going to be greatly reduced from that. But it's important that the community have a conversation about, well, what is appropriate here? And all those naysayers who say, well, you got to take discretion away from the DAs for this one-off, by the way. The reason this case sticks out is because it's such an anomaly. If this was happening every day, people would shrug over this. They don't, because it's a freaking anomaly. You don't take away somebody's powers because one person goofed up the use of them or didn't have the guts to diminish the charges. 303-696-1971, going to Bob in Denver. You're on 710 KNUS.
George, how are we doing?
I'm doing okay, sir. As we head into this magical Christmas peace mercy season here, what does it make you think of when it comes to this guy, knowing that Monday there's going to be a reevaluation of what justice looks like for what he did?
Not funny. Next time there's going to be trouble. Just kidding.
Yeah.
I would not do that.
Yeah.
I would look at this guy and say, first off, we're going into this season. God is the only one that's going to forgive you. I can't. I would bring in everyone who's been maimed.
Yeah.
And then have that and remind everybody what this guy did, because the media is going to be there and they want to have a circus atmosphere. I would remind everyone what happened that day. And I do have a little bit of skin in the game. My nephew, his trucking company had a couple of accidents knocking bridges down. I mean, hitting the bridge work on the embankments in several towns here in Colorado. So,
oh boy.
I had to say, you know what, you know, you have to take your man pill and do and accept the consequences. And then my brother-in-law passed away on the road because he was a trucker. He passed away. He had a heart attack. But he had enough strength to get his truck into the parking lot before he passed.
Oh, my gosh. So that he was taking it off the road so it didn't pose a risk.
So it didn't pose a risk.
That's a hero. That's a hero right there.
Yeah.
But honestly, it's expected, right? Like, that's on the last caller, based on Butch, it was one of those things where they, like, try to instill this in you with the CDL thing, which is like, look, man, you're not a... I was going to say a Pinto, but that's a bad example because they blow up. But
right.
You're not a VW bug, right? Like, you're like 100 VW bugs. And so you got to act like that.
Right.
So, Bob, what do you do then? Is there a number that you have? And then I'll cut you loose because we're running out of time. What number do you have?
Okay. I would go with a third off. I would say 80.
80?
Under 100. Yeah. That's it.
Bob, thank you so much for that, for continuing to advance this. Merry Christmas to you. I hope Santa's very good to you. Look, we're going to continue this conversation. Bob's line is open, 303-696-1971. This topic, apparently a good one for us to talk about during this season of mercy. When we come back, George Brockler, 710 KNUS. George Brockler back with you here on 710 KNUS, the show before Christmas Eve, which means it'll be my last of the week. I'll be back with you on Monday at the appointed time, 9 to 10. And then, of course, after me is a guy named Charlie Kirk, and then there's Stephen Tubbs. I think Stephen's back. He had a little something he posted about yesterday, but he's back in today from 3 to 7. I don't think he's in tomorrow either. Listen, the conversation that's been really lighting up the phones here since we started talking about it is there's a reconsideration pending for this trucker who killed four people and burned up six others, but they're still alive. And he received a 110-year mandatory minimum prison sentence, but there is a provision in the law that allows the judge to deviate from that. Everything's been accelerated by, I don't know, 3 months or more to get this guy back into court on Monday for reconsideration. And the question that I posed is, listen, in this holiday season of peace and mercy, and that those are predominant things, that and, of course, Santa and gifts, but peace and mercy, if you're the judge on Monday, and you have the discretion to go from probation to stick with the 110 years, what do you do with this guy? What's your rationale for why you would change it? And we've heard some good things already. We've had Butch call in. We had Bob from Denver suggest 80 years. Some on the texters have said, how about half? Other texters have said, My understanding is that he rejected a 20-year deal. That sounds like that might be appropriate, and I let you know that whatever number the judge says, it's really only going to be about half of that, no matter what, that he'll serve, maybe even a little bit less than that. So keep that in mind. But give us a call at 303-696-1971. When a line opens and when it does, I'll let you know. For right now, we're going to Lakewood, my hometown, and Kent. Kent, you're on 710 KNUS.
Yes, sir. How are you?
Good. How are you doing? What do you think?
Good. I was calling about the topic that you're on.
Yes, sir. What do you think
is
the appropriate sentence? What's the appropriate sentence for this guy on Monday? What do you think? What would you do if you're the judge? If it's Judge Kent.
I think it ought to be left where it's at, but 80 years sounds good to me with no early out. He has to serve the whole thing.
Now, that's even stronger than the sentence he has right now, because as I mentioned, you know, 110 is really more like 50-ish under our current sentencing scheme. But 80, a firm 80, that's more like a sentence of 160, 165 years that he would have gotten. But just tell me your logic behind it.
I just, there was another driver that killed a state patrolman. I called you on that.
Yeah, that's right.
And his sentence sucked what he got.
Oh, it sucked rocks. I was there. Yeah.
Yeah. I know you were there. I think the man was completely out. He had to be out of control with that truck way before all this happened, like coming off of Loveland Pass and Vail Pass. And he had to know something was going on with that truck.
No doubt.
Evidently, he just didn't know what he was doing. So he's going to have to pay for it. And he killed four people and injured a whole bunch of people. What I would like to know is where I could get a copy of the inspection they did on his truck. Was it so mutilated it couldn't have an inspection?
No, I'm certain it was inspected, and I'm certain that they had truck experts come in to testify about what it all meant. I'm certain of that, even though I didn't sit through the trial. The trial was like weeks, too.
That's really what I'd like to find out. Like,
I presume it's
brake on. Did he kick it out of gear?
Yeah, I don't know. I presume it's part of the public record, you know, from the trial, but I wouldn't know. I mean, if I were the DA, I could say, hey, I'll give it to you, but I don't have the ability to do that.
Okay. I think it sounds like he kicked it out of gear to get down into another gear, and once you start to lose it, it won't go back into gear. And then the Jake brake doesn't even work because it runs off compression off the engine. So if it wasn't in gear, he was just freewheeling.
Well, Kent,
there's a nice place after that Morrison exit where it's all green grass, and he could have just bailed off in there.
I think that that's part of what the jury, and Merry Christmas to you, Kent. Thank you for listening and calling in. I think that you obviously know a ton about trucks. I presume the jury that he helped pick got to consider all of that evidence as well as his own testimony. Remember, this is what he sat up there and cried in front of the jury and told them how scared he was. And I think that's the answer, Kent, not the right answer, but his answer. And that is, I didn't do any of these things because I was so panicked. I was so scared. I didn't know what to do. So I made all of these really horrible, regrettable decisions that led to these preventable deaths and maiming. And that's what he would say. But I think the jury got to consider all of that when they decided it wasn't an accident and it wasn't just reckless, but it was extreme indifference to the value of human life. Jacqueline calling us from Nebraska, Big Red Country. How are you?
Good morning, George. Yes, I think the 110 years ought to stay, and I'll tell you why.
Please.
When you come into this country and you break our laws, first of all, and you're a criminal being here, and then you kill people, you need to be set as an example. Now, that guy didn't know. I've been following this trial. He did not know how to drive that truck. That was his first trip. And his behavior through the trial, the jury, and almost everyone who followed it got to hear his testimony and the evidence. But for anyone to want him cut some slack, I would have given him the chair, George, because if that had been my family, I would have wanted justice for all the damage that this guy done. Now, he can't return to old Mexico. Whoever sold this guy.
He's Cuban. He's a Cuban immigrant.
Or Cuban. Whoever brought him in here and whoever paid for him to get here ought to be going to prison with this guy. But this has happened all over the United States. This is just one. And I had an argument with some people the other day that didn't know the evidence. And when I got done filling them in, because they never heard this on 9 News, they had a different opinion about this guy, but I think it ought to stand.
Does it matter to you in your analysis, given what you said, if he was here legally? Like, he's a legitimate Cuban? And I don't know the answer to this, so I don't want to say, oh, he's illegal. I don't know. But does it matter to you? Like, what if it wasn't a Cuban immigrant, whether he was here legally or not? What if it was just some 23-year-old white dude? Would it matter to you in the sentencing?
It doesn't matter to me. You break the law, and you kill people in this country, you go to jail. You go to prison.
Yeah,
I wouldn't cut it down. Absolutely not. What he did was horrendous, and he knew what he was doing wrong. This guy did. He had no business driving a truck.
Jacqueline, would it matter to you if the victims all show up on Monday and say, "We also don't want to see a 110-year sentence. We think he should go to prison for." I'm making up a number here. We think he should go to prison for 20 years. Would that make a difference to you?
I don't think it would, George. No.
How come?
Because I can see this for what it is. This guy should be made an example of, whether he's United a citizen or not. And if they want to let him off, I'd be very surprised, but that would be their choice. I wouldn't let him off.
Jacqueline, a Merry Christmas to you, by the way. Thank you for listening from all the way out there in Big Red Country, and thank you for calling in. I appreciate that, keeping the conversation going. Jacqueline's line is open, 303-696-1971. Going back to Denver, Todd, you're on the George Brockler Show.
Hey, George, good morning to you.
How are you?
I'm doing okay. This is a hard subject. I mean, you hear somebody like Jacqueline, whether the guy's illegal or not, is not here. I mean, what he did is truly horrendous, and it was truly an accident. However, we have similar situations happen on the road on a daily basis, as you know, being a prosecutor, with drunk drivers and so forth. And they get a slap on the wrist and end up doing it two or three more times. What this guy did, horrible. What he did to these families that are involved, they will never get back.
No, that's
However,
true.
On the other standpoint, this guy is living the rest of his life knowing what he did. He didn't get out of that fire directly. He was involved in that as well. He's got that. He's got that on his heart, on his brain, the fact that he killed and changed families for the rest of his life.
Yeah.
I do think it was an accident. I think a lot. The other issue is, you've got these trucking companies that are trying to hire drivers. They're putting them through trucking school now. And that has all been shortened, where they're getting these drivers on the road faster and sooner.
I think that's, first off, you're right, and that's another topic that we've talked about and we need to pursue, and that is, where's the investigation/prosecution of this company and these people that put this guy behind the wheel of a truck he had no business driving? I agree, but let me just go back to one thing you said. You said you think it was an accident. Do you define accident as just the absence of intent? Like, nobody thinks this guy intentionally did this. Is that what you treat as an accident, all non-intentional conduct? And I ask that from the standpoint that the jury didn't find it was negligent, and they didn't just find that it was reckless. They found that he acted with extreme indifference to the value of human life by engaging in conduct that created a grave risk of death. That's what they found, beyond a reasonable doubt, guilty, all 12. He helped pick them. Does that also fit the definition of accident for you?
A lot of people driving a semi-truck, or you've seen people, there's people that are driving a pickup truck with a 42-foot, 45-foot camper trailer in the back of it that are weighted down, overloaded, and everything else. They lose control on that highway coming down that hill. Coming down that hill in a regular car with a trailer on it, there's numerous cars people have seen that pull off because their brakes have gone out, or cars that barely make it down the hill end up jackknifing. It happens on a daily basis on regular people. So how do you prosecute a person that's driving a car, does the same thing, runs into another car, kills one person? It's an accident. Nothing happens to them.
Well, I don't know about that. I don't know about nothing happens to them. Now, I know that there are different experiences from different prosecutors, but there's a really teeny tiny charge called careless driving resulting in death, for which the maximum punishment is like 1 year in jail. I personally have never prosecuted one of those that didn't result in some jail time. But others have told me that that's true. But and this is such an important discussion, Todd. I'm sorry I can't keep going with you. We got to get ready to turn over. But this is, you've done a great job here of advancing the other portion of this conversation, and that is the idea that, listen, this was not intentional conduct that has to be taken into consideration in determining what the sentence is. Before I let you go, give me your number. What number?
I'm with you on the 20 years. I think living the rest of your life knowing you killed somebody is horrible.
Got it. Hey, Todd, Merry Christmas to you. Thank you for listening. Todd's line is open at 303-696-1971. Mike, Arnie, everybody else on hold. We're going to get to you. Let's just keep the conversation going until I have to turn this thing over to a dude named Charlie Kirk at the top of the hour. You're listening right now to George Brockler. This is the George Brockler Show, and it's 710 KNUS. The little drummer boy with you right here on 710 KNUS, George Brockler. I have not seen now for a couple years, and I miss the little drummer boy. I don't know if it's not claymation. Do you know what I mean? It's that little stop motion thing they used to do back in the era of Frosty the Snowman and Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. I haven't seen those in a bit. I want to watch those. Those were always great specials to want to watch when you were a kid. And it's usually CBS, and you would see that word special right beforehand, and it would spin around, you know, and it would be like, you know, I can't remember the music, but like, something. And then you were like, yeah, it's on. And then you would see it, and you get all, it was just fantastic. I have not seen those in a while, but that version of Little Drummer Boy, also very awesome here on the George Brockler Show, 710 KNUS. Getting right back to our super full lines as we discuss the topic of what would you do as a judge in the trucker case, because Monday the judge is going to get the opportunity to do pretty much whatever he wants in terms of reconsidering the sentencing. Let's see what you would do. Judge Dawn from Aurora, you're on 710 KNUS. Judge, what would you do?
Hi, George. So I'm a former truck driver, got about 20 years experience. I've been an instructor before, and I've done that pass, I'm thinking, at least 100 times, maybe more.
Wow.
There's a function of the truck with Jake brakes, and you can use those. You can toggle between 2, 4, and 6 cylinders that will restrict the engine from over revving. I've never touched my brakes once on any of those big hills, ever. It's just, you got to know what you're doing and take it seriously. As far as the penalty goes, it's fine with me. I mean, I witnessed that from afar, the smoke, and then discovered what it was. And I thought how ridiculous and avoidable the whole thing was. It's totally avoidable.
Totally avoidable. Let's pretend for a moment this guy was poorly trained and poorly equipped to do the things that you would think of in this kind of a situation. And I think that largely everybody agrees dude made some horrendous decisions, well more than just negligence. But if you had to sit there on Monday, do you say, I'm sorry, buddy, but you're keeping all 110 years? And again, knowing that our system is such that he would do about 50%, or do you do something to reduce it and why?
I wouldn't reduce it. Coming back from Glenwood a month or so ago, I witnessed another truck doing the exact same thing. Trailer brakes just smoking. And I was appalled. I'm like, why can't you guys get this? And again, the same thing. You ride the brakes on a big truck, fully loaded, 80,000 pounds, you're going to lose your brakes. So he lost his brakes 3 minutes into coming off the top of the hill because he wouldn't let off the brake, and he missed multiple opportunities to fix it. I don't know if he can read the signs or what the problem was, but there's no excuse in my mind.
Well, 110 years then is where you would stick with it, Judge, yes? And you speak from experience. Well, listen, I appreciate the analysis of it too, coming from the position of, hey, I've been there and I've done that. Thank you. Merry Christmas to you. Thanks for advancing the conversation on this. 303-696-1971. Arnie out of Littleton. You're on the George Brockler Show. Judge Arnie, what would you do?
George, I have one other thing I want to throw into this. I totally am appalled at the fact that we're letting our legal system be judged by some sort of national poll.
Oh my God, you are so right,
and
man. That
I
is
can't
the...
stand the thought that justice down the road from this stupid website will be based on how many people write in and complain about some sentence some guy got. You and I probably would not have that same advantage, and we would be stuck with whatever the judge came out with. I'm not for reducing anything based on a couple of things. Number one, he probably had this accident when he was 21 or 22, because I don't know how long ago it was. But I'll tell you what, I was right across the highway from the thing and was stopped in traffic while the whole bunch of vehicles were burning and exploding. And I wouldn't back off one thing. Number one or number two, he's 22 years old. This guy will never give another thought to what he did, like some people like to think. because I have and have been a 23-year-old, and I have a 29-year-old son right now. They only think about what's going on the next day or so. He's not going to – all he's going to do is say, thank God I got out of this, and then go on down the road.
You don't think he's genuinely remorseful?
No, not whatsoever. Based on the antics that I heard about and saw, I didn't follow the trial day to day.
Yeah.
But, no, I don't think he's remorseful. And I would say stick with what he's got. He had the choice, and a retort like, I'm not going to take 20 years. I should only get a traffic ticket. That's ridiculous.
Yeah, that was something that needs to be explained, as well as I think the other explanation here that we need to hear. And Merry Christmas to you, Arnie, and thanks for the thoughtful conversation. Is why the DA did what she did, why she pursued these charges, even more charges than this. And then all of a sudden, and the point you bring up is one that is so critically important. We are now having our justice system corrupted by outside influences. Like, who gives a crap what 4.5 or 5 million people who are not Coloradans, not in the community, say? If it's a petition from people in the community, maybe that has some impact, right? Because they're representing sort of the sense of the community. Who gives any care at all about what someone from Wisconsin, Nebraska, New York, Texas, if they sign a petition, who cares? And is that the prerequisite now to getting some sort of faster than normal relief from the system? I mean, that's a real corruption of this process. That is different from the issue of whether the DA made a mistake or not or should have intervened, but that is a real corruption of this process. Let's go back to my hometown of Lakewood with Deborah. Deborah, you're on 710 KNUS. What do you think, Deborah?
I think he should get 110 years, like the other callers were saying.
Why do you say that?
I just think because of what the truck driver was saying and what the lady was saying. I agree with them completely. I didn't know that he had been offered 20 years. And he didn't do it. Well, you know what? Too bad. I wouldn't give him one minute.
Would you have been satisfied if he had accepted 20 years? Like, if you'd have heard the DA offered 20, he took 20, he got sentenced, would you have come away and said, okay, I can live with that?
Well, if he had taken it and did the 20 years, but because he was being a smartass, he didn't do it, and therefore he gets a full term. I was understood that he had those runoff things for the trucks.
That's right.
I don't know what they're called.
Yeah.
He passed four of them.
Yep, that's what
I
heard.
He could have went off on any one of them, and he didn't do it.
Deborah, you're right, and I think the jury considered that. And Merry Christmas to you. I want to get to one more call here if I can. Maybe two more if we can slip them in. But I just want to say this, to the extent that whatever he offered to do and rejected was a product of the legal counsel he had, someone ought to take a look at that advice too, because that seems pretty reckless to go into Jeffco with a ton of time hanging over your client's head and saying, no, thank you, we'll take points on his license. Mike, you're on 710 KNUS. What do you think?
Hey, good morning.
Good morning.
You know, I'm kind of crossed up on this because I was involved in it was a violent crime. A guy was beating on his old lady. I'm not going to go into details, but when we went to court, the guy, he didn't speak Spanish either, excuse me, English, and they offered him 9 years for his crimes. He had previous record, and he was an ex-felon with a gun. Well, they ended up giving him, he turned him down, they ended up giving him 60 years. And this is about 15, 20 years ago, and I get a notice from an attorney agency. They're trying to spring him because he's saying now that he didn't have competent legal advice. But when I look at this situation, which is completely different per se, short of the time span that they're offering, if he got more time than, like, the Columbine, the theater shooter guy, he's got more time than Mario and the rest of those guys out there.
He doesn't.
On death row.
He doesn't. Are you saying if he did? Because he's got nowhere near the amount of time they have.
Well,
I mean, let's be clear. The Aurora Theater shooter has 12 consecutive life sentences plus 3,316 years. So
okay, I didn't know that.
Yeah. And Sir Mario Owens, Robert Ray, and Nathan Dunlap all had not only multiple life sentences that they have now, but they received the death penalty. So nothing that has happened to this guy even approaches them, other than the fact that it's the equivalent of life in prison.
I just don't, you know, I think 110 is high, to be frank with you. I think that probably 40-year sentence, because he's already broken the law coming in the country legal, and they're not seeming to understand that.
And Mike, that part, I don't know. I don't know. First off, and I apologize, but I got to get to the end of the show here. But Mike, thank you for advancing the conversation. 40 years really spends like 20. I appreciate that input. I don't know if he's illegal. I don't know if that matters or not in terms of the sentencing. I'm certain the judge didn't take it into consideration and won't on Monday. Monday, we can have some more of this conversation if you want after the holidays. But look, I'm just thankful to be off tomorrow. Saturday is going to be Christmas. If you celebrate that holiday, Merry Christmas to you. Merry Christmas, Geronimo, behind the glass for a great first couple months together. When we return on Monday, we can have this conversation. Until that time, you're going to get Charlie Kirk right after me. You're going to get Stephen Tubbs from 3 to 7. And then we'll start it all over again on Monday. I'm not sure who's filling in for Pete, but I'll be back at 9 a.m. Listen to my family out there. Merry Christmas. I love you. I can't wait to spend a little more time with you. You've been listening to George Brockler. This is the George Brockler Show, and this fantastic Christmas-loving station is 710 KNUS.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.